Morning.
Wow, that's pretty weak.
Good morning.
Morning.
Wow. There's coffee in the room over here. You know, you're welcome to get some. I'm glad to see you all this morning. It's a beautiful sunny day out. We had a great weekend. If you've been watching the pictures as you came in, we had our church camp out this last weekend. And for those of you that weren't there, you missed it. But we will have it again next year. Hopefully. If he doesn't lose too much bank, I was just telling Will that last year there was a lot more riverbank, and he's lost, like, I don't know, 40 to 100 feet of riverbank. So I'm like, oh, hope he doesn't lose so much, too much more. We're going to be, you know, floating next year. But it was a great time, and we had a good time out there. So I hope we will see more of you next year. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. It's a great day. Hey, are you guys awake? All right. Let's stand up and let's have a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you again so much that we can just take this day to focus on celebrating fathers. And hopefully, again, just like we said on Mother's Day, that it's not just this one day that we celebrate our fathers and we're grateful for the fathers that we have in our lives. And Father, I know for some of us, fathers are not necessarily a good thing. We've had not necessarily the greatest earthly fathers potentially, but Father, we are so glad that you are our Father and that you are a perfect Father. You don't ever do anything wrong to us. You're always there for us. You're always there. You're a healer. You're always there to pick us up. You give us everything that you are with total abandonment. You hold nothing back from us. And you will never leave us, and you will never forsake us, and you will never do us harm. So I am grateful for that. Even though I had a great and have a great earthly father, I am so grateful that I have you that I can rely on every single moment of my life. I can talk to you anytime, day or night, and I don't have to pick up a telephone. I don't have to do anything but just cry out to you. And I'm so grateful for your love and for your mercy. And for your sense of humor that I see every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
My eyes on your faithfulness. Oh God, let me not forget. Fire with her, wanna bring the Lord in words I enter. sing praise up. Bring your heart to what you first. All for your glory. For your glory. Sing, my soul will sing.
My soul will
make this place an altar. Make this place an altar, I will sing. My soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar, I will sing. My soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar, I will sing. My soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar.
Father, we live for you every day, Lord. I pray that that is exactly what we do. We do not live for the people around us. We do not live to prove ourselves to the world, but we live every single moment of every single day for you, for your honor, for your glory, Lord. That we would represent you, Lord, every day as we become more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise belongs to you. Let every kingdom bow. Let every ocean roar. Let every heart adore you now.
Praise belongs to you.
What can I do but sing? The greatest joy I found is to lay the crown before my King.
Before my King.
Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down. Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, so worthy, all the saints bow down. Holy is your name in all the earth. Righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you've done is just and true. Holy, holy God are you. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Silver is a Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. Anticipation for your coming again. Lord, as we live our lives here, Lord, may it just be a life lived out only for you. only for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Wow, it's good to see you all. It was a little light last week. I don't know where you all were, but you weren't here. No, it was great. It's always fascinating to me. It feels like, man, there's only like 20 people here, and there's like 43. So, like, my perception of, you know, how many people were here is not very good. But again, happy Father's Day. I hope you all are having a great time in the house of God this morning. Hopefully, you all are going to be celebrating with your fathers this afternoon. If they're still with you and you're in close proximity, I'll be calling my father. He lives in Canada. I'll be calling him this afternoon. I'll probably be one of them. I have four siblings, or three siblings. There's four of us. I can count today, too. That's really good. It's a good thing I'm not a mathematician. We'd be in really bad trouble. So I'll be calling him later, and that's great. That was kind of funny. A couple weeks ago, I kind of threw them under the bus about that they're not very tech savvy, and we were on a Zoom call because a couple weeks ago they celebrated 60 years of marriage together. So us four kids were on Zoom with them. And so I was kind of making fun of them, and not meanly, but in service, I was like, God, did I go too far? So I called them this last week, and Mom's laughed. She's like, no, you're fine. We've been thrown under the bus so much. I'm like, no, that's not my intent. I'm just like, I know we have that kind of relationship, but I'm always really careful because I don't want to dishonor my mom and dad, because mom and dad are amazing. And I said, hopefully I said that in service too, so hopefully I balanced that. So I never want to dishonor my parents or anybody else. So I'm really careful because I like to give people a hard time. My secretary's here. She could tell you that. My associate, they have to work with me every week and every day, and so pray for them. So they need lots of prayer. So I like to have a good time, but sometimes I can go too far, and I can offend people, and that's never my intent. So if I ever offend you, please come talk to me, because that will never, this is totally not the sermon, all right? I'm just telling you this, especially for some of you that are a little bit new to our family, and are yet trying to figure out who this crazy person is that speaks every week. I invite you to please come talk to me. I beg of you to please come talk to me, because there's been times when people, I've lost relationships because people won't simply come and talk to me because it's been a misunderstanding. All right, so anyway, that's free. That's just, you know, something to think about this morning. So we are in 1 John this morning. So we've been in 1 John since the first of the year. So if you have your Bibles, your tablets, your iPhones, your whatever, turn to 1 John chapter 2. I think we'll have it on the screen, correct, Nick? My tech guys are really good. Also, just as a side note, if any of you are tech savvy, want to be tech savvy, have any interest at all in like soundboard, we just started a new video ministry. So we are live. We've been live for the last, I don't know, 2 months now, I guess. And we've upgraded our equipment. We have a camera now, a good camera. So if that is any of your heart, your interest, even a slight twinge of that might be fascinating, please come talk to Aaron and Nick. They're in the back. Those are the only two guys we have right now that are doing everything, and I don't want to burn them out. So if you have any desire, please, please talk to them, all right? We would love to have you be part of our team and helping out on Sunday mornings, and it'd be a great help, I know, to Nick and Aaron. And his girls are running the cameras, so that's good. So age is not a you don't have to be super old like me to do ministry, right? And I love that Aaron's girls are stepping in and taking that on. And the children are our church of tomorrow. They're of our church right now. That's what we believe here. Our children have a place here and now. It's not when they turn 20. Hallelujah. They have a place of service right now. So that gives you a little bit of who we are. So we are in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Last couple weeks we were talking about looking at do not love the world. Now we're going into verse 18 of chapter 2. Children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour.
They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. I know, I would hazard a guess that it feels like we're in the last hour. Is it not? Kind of feel that way. But it's kind of funny, as I've talked to other brothers and sisters over the last couple weeks, I think every generation has felt like it's the last hour. Oh, this has got to be the end times because of whatever's happening. And I think there's definitely some things we can look at, and this isn't necessarily a message about the Antichrist. It talks about the Antichrist here, and as we'll see in other, if we get to them today, if not, we'll get to them next week. But as we see, this is kind of a warning, and the warning that I see is not, it does talk about the Antichrist, but that's really not what the message is about. It's more about verses 19, how it says, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. Now, again, this is not also not a message about all those people that leave churches for whatever reason. All right, you could take that and pull this out of context, and that's not what it's about. But I really want to focus on the fact that it is, to me, as I was reading through this and as Father was kind of having conversation with him this last week and just thinking about this, it's really about unity. What causes people to be part of a local body? Is it because they like the music? And again, I'm not vilifying these things, all right? But there's so often, and I can only speak from my own experiences, a lot of times I've gone to a church or left a church because the music style was what I liked or didn't like. But as I get older and the more that I understand God's word, I'm talking to some of you newer people. For those that don't know me very well, I'm a pretty simple guy. If you're looking for a great theologian with lots of, you know, in-depth study, and not that I don't study, so please hear that. I just wing it. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm probably not going to pull all the Greek and the Hebrew. That Aaron loves that stuff. He's studying that right now. You know, the older I get and the longer I go with God, he keeps simplifying it for me. He's like, just simply preach the word. Simply preach the word. So when I think about this unity thing, I mean, there's lots of messages, and we're going to look at some of this morning, another passage of scripture. But I want us to, when we think about these people that have left, and we've had people come and go from this body here. I've been senior pastor here for almost 5 years, I think 5 years next month. And we've had lots of people come and go. Years ago, we were over 200 people. And again, I'm not one of these people that chases numbers. And we've had this, we've been from 200 down to 30s. And God, see what? God grows the church. It's my job to preach the word. That's my only job. It's my job to preach the word and love on you to the best of my ability. It's my job to care for the... It's my job and my calling, my honor to serve all of you. That's my calling. And when it comes to this place of unity, when people leave and come and go, it's like, what are the reasons that they're leaving? Sometimes they have valid reasons. Sometimes the reasons make no sense to me. And sometimes there's underlying issues that I don't know about, or sometimes I do know about. But here's the thing, why do we stay together? Is our job is to come together and be unified in our central message to spread the good news to the world that is lost and dying, that they have a Father who loves them and that created them and has a plan and purpose for their life. That's our calling. That's your calling if you're a child of God this morning. And if we deviate from that message, I think we're missing it. So let's look at a couple passages that kind of tie into this. Turn over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We've used pieces of this passage of scripture in earlier messages. Does anybody know what John chapter 17 is? What is it? That's a prayer from Jesus. When's the last time you guys read that? Have you guys read that any time recently? I encourage you guys to read that on a regular basis. It's a power, you know, I always say it's a power piece of scripture. All scripture is powerful, right? But just these moments when you see the intimacy. We know that Jesus prayed. We have lots of accounts in the gospel where Jesus prayed. But right here we have a copy, a record of what he actually said. It's kind of cool. All right, so John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Kind of coming to the middle of his prayer here. Jesus talking to the Father. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I love that. I love that. That verse right there means he is praying for us. That they may, here it is, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. We'll continue on in a moment. Do you get that? That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Would you say that describes the American church today? Now, again, my wife always cautions me, don't attack the bride. I'm not attacking the bride. I'm asking a question because I love the bride of Christ because I'm called to serve her. Right here in this room and every day as I walk through my life. But I would dare say that I think the world has a pretty good accusation against the bride of Christ that we are not unified. Now, I'm not saying we have to agree on every single point of doctrine. We have to agree on the end times. I won't go there. We have, you know, all these different things that people argue about. Great. You know what? My God, you know, the sense of humor that God has that I see in him, I think he puts some controversial things in there just to make people crazy. That's just my thoughts. You know, that's not scripture. That's just my idea. Right? Because most of the time it separates us. I was having a conversation with somebody else recently in the last couple weeks. We can't have a debate anymore. When's the last time you had a debate with anybody when you're both on opposite ends of the subject, whatever it is? And then at the end of the day, still both be on the opposite ends of the subject and walk away friends. And walk away, you know what? I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me. We don't care. We're going to still come together and be unified in our purpose. Isn't that what the church should be? Right? I have lots of other brothers and sisters that I do life with that we don't agree on every theological point. I don't care. Because here's the thing. For me, again, like I said, Father, he continues to strip it down and simplify it. I'll die on a few things. I die on the virgin birth. I die on that he rose again, and that he's the only way to heaven. Right? I just feel there's anything I think of. But there's like, that's it. There's one way to heaven, that's Jesus. I'll die on that. I won't give that up. I won't ever deviate from that. I won't ever deviate of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I won't deviate from that. You won't convince me of anything else. You won't convince me of anything that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And only through him can I be holy and can I have eternal life. You won't ever convince me that I don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my life the moment that I got saved. Hallelujah. You won't ever convince me that a little child, when they get saved, has the same size Holy Spirit that I do. Hallelujah. And I dare say children understand more about the Holy Spirit than we do. Right? Because they're not wrapped up and they don't have all these things and these experiences and all this stuff that's destroyed that. And we think that our experiences outweigh the reality of who God is and who the Holy Spirit is. But I'm saying if we got as a church, if we really came to this place of unity and this place that Jesus is praying in John chapter 17 when he's saying, I want them, basically what he's saying is here, they need to be unified like you and I are unified, Father. That's what he's saying. May they be one like you and I are one. And I'm just simple enough to believe that if Jesus said it, it's possible for us to achieve it. Okay? here in this busted, broken world. It's this unity that he's praying for us is achievable. All right, verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Wow. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one. Again, why? So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That is the whole point of unity. It's not about that we all agree about everything. Being one is all about showcasing who God is. That's the only point. That's the only point. But if the world looks at the church at large and sees us shooting our wounded and hating, and I'm using that in the strongest possible way, hating people for how they're living their life, even if it's contrary to the word of God, I understand that does not give us the right to hate our brothers and sisters who are struggling. When's the last time you got hated into a change in your life? Have you ever? Man, that person hated me so much, so I just changed. And no, that's not how it works. How it works is love. The love of God flowing through us. And it's not about our ability to love those people, trust me. I hit a saturation point a while back. And I never thought I'd hit it. Or I got saturated. I got, like, I didn't want to be around people anymore. I love people. Like, people energize me. Right? Because, obviously, if I'm tapped out, that means I was running on my energy and my love and my compassion and my stuff. But when I'm tapped into, as you said, the glory that you have given me, I've given them. When I'm tapped into his energy, when I'm tapped into his love, then I now have the capacity to love people that are a little more difficult to love. Because there are those people. And I am that person to some people. Right? Ask my wife. She's not here, but ask her when you see her next time. There's those moments, right? And so in those moments, she taps into the love of her father to love this cranky, ornery husband that she has from time to time. Right? But that's the whole thing. When we live in this place, when we live in this place of unity, when we live in this place of really tapping into this prayer that Jesus has prayed, I promise you things will change. And I've said this before, but I'll probably keep saying it. The hope of our situation in our world, in our country, in our city today is not government bailout. It's not another stimulus check. It's this right here. It's what we have inside of us that is free. Hallelujah. That will change a household more than the $1,200 or $12,000 or $12 million. It doesn't matter how many zeros you put on the end of that number. Not getting me wrong, I like money. But I'm just saying, that's not what's going to change their life. That's not what's going to change their home. That's not what's going to change their future. That's not what's going to change generational blessing. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Are you kind of getting the point? The love of Jesus with the Father, and it's like, they're trying to describe it here in written word, but I don't think even we really capture what really Jesus was praying. this kind of love that we need to have for each other. And again, it has to start in our family units. How am I loving my wife? Is it showcasing the glory of God? As her husband, am I honoring her with every ounce that I have in my body to honor her and showcase her and make her look good, not from a place of, you know, arrogance or love. Oh, look how amazing my wife is, even though she is. Right? That is my calling before God. Next to my relationship with him, my calling before God is to pour every ounce of energy I have into my wife and honor her and cherish her and love her until the day I draw my final breath. That's my calling. And then all you guys come after that, all my children, and then all you. Right? But then from my wife, it goes to my children that are still in my house. I only have a few, one left now. But anyway, they keep coming back. But anyway, that's my thing. My children, I need to pour everything I have in my children, because here's the thing. As children of God, we represent our Father, do we not? Yes, we do. Now, don't get me wrong. How we represent Father does not change who he is. But I would like to think, as when we pour in our children, I pray that my children are a representation of their mother and I and how we have raised them. I love it when people say, man, your kids are awesome. They are. And it's not because they had these amazing parents. We poured our life into them, and we poured into, this is who God says you are. This is who God says you are. This is who God says you are. We will fail you. He will not. That's our calling, but that's where it starts. So if we had a group of people, if just us in this room right here lived in this place, some of you all don't have children yet, but you pour in each other and you love your wife and you love your husband with everything that you have. And as older people and with families, we love each other. And just us in this room, if we just lived in this place, I promise you, look what you do with 12 people. What would he do with the amount of people in this room this morning?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm still simple enough to believe there's another revival coming. And I believe it's coming from Alaska. And that's not because I live here. Because I've heard it from other people too. Well, this is a little isolated state. Not a lot of people. But when I read scripture, he did amazing things with a few. His disciples, walls of Jericho. Right? He kept whittling people down and different things. No, you have too many people. I only want a little bit. Well, just a few people. I just want a little you elite team to destroy this place, right? I don't know about you, but man, I want to be part of a little elite team that's so dedicated and so on point and so understanding of who they are in God and so unified. I mean, if you think of an elite military team. Of whatever branch you can think of. There's lots of training. There's lots of trust. There's lots of time put together. And I'm only talking from the outside. Right? I've read a lot about them because I love reading about those kinds of teams. Because I see a lot of what they do really transfers to the church. They're so unified and so tight that they don't have to think about where the other guy is or the other person is, because he's doing his job. They're doing their job. They don't have to think about, are they doing their job? Yeah, they're doing their job. Just like a good marriage. I don't have to think about, because my wife and I will be married 29 years next 2 months from now in August. And it's like, there's a lot of things that's just, it's not automatic, where it's some of it's simple, some of it's still not, even after all this time. And I love that piece. But I know what she's going to think about. I know how she's going to respond to certain things in my life. Why? Because we're unified. We have always been unified. Ask my children. They've never been able to separate us. Right? Right?
Right.
Right. A good answer. Because they know if they go, oh, well, I'm going to go ask mom. And if she says no, I'm going to go ask dad. My response always is, what did mom say? in a discussion. I don't care what mom said. I might have disagreed with her, but I'm not going to do that in front of them. We might have a discussion about it later. It's this unified front. And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a church that's unified and on mission. And our mission here is to what? We're anointed to bring good news. That's our mission. It's really simple. Anointed to bring good news. Our children understand what that is. We're anointed to bring the good news that there's a Savior who loves each and every person. He gave his life for them. He wants them to live in this place of unity that he's praying about in these few verses. Because it's sad, because as much as we talk about this unity, but there's people that don't want unity for whatever reason. Sometimes it's history. Sometimes it's because they've been beat up by the church. And that's just sad. We have heard that over and over and over again. And I'll use a strong word. They have been abused by the church. And it really kills my soul that that word can be used in the same sentence as church. Because maybe the person who was supposed to be serving their flock was demanding from their flock to serve them. Maybe the shepherd was taking their personal life story and projecting that onto his flock. That does a lot of damage. Those of you who have been here for a while, you know, I try to be as transparent as possible with where my life is at any given time. But I have to be careful not to be damaging with that. My job is to love and serve you in any way that you need. And in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, kind of talks about this, about these people that aren't in the place of unity. Romans chapter 16, 17 and 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites by smooth talk and flattery. They deceive the hearts of the naive. And again, that's part of our calling as the senior pastor here in our elder board here. We're an elder led church, if you didn't know. Our elders are the spiritual head of this church. I'm not a dictator. I don't make the final decisions. We have a group of five other elders that sit on a board, and we meet once a month, and we talk about our main job is the spiritual welfare of this body. That's our responsibility. And yes, we talk about other things that need to be discussed, but that is our main thing. Their main job next to that is making sure that I, as the pastor, am saying the wrong thing, the right thing. And if I say something out of line, their job is to call me up short. Their job is to have a conversation with me. If you have a problem with me and you don't feel like you can come talk to me, your job is to go talk to the elders. Trust me, they will come talk to me. You know what? That gives me a lot of security because I'm accountable. First and foremost, to Father, then to an elder board, and then ultimately to you all. But there's people that cause divisions and create obstacles, and this contrary to the doctrines you've been taught. That's why, like I said, I want to keep it simple. And when things come in, and we've had things come in that, like, that's, I can see where you go there, but man, that can cause some confusion and some division, and we're just not going to go there. And sometimes it's not even anti-biblical. It's just not the direction we're headed. And that's okay. That's why there's lots of churches. Maybe there's another church that's going that direction. Sweet, go there. But that's not for us. And it's always fascinating to me how big of a weeding out word no is. Just no. They ask a question and you say no, and then, oh, I didn't realize it's that big. I just said no. But here's the thing. I know I say no and I mean it. I'm not going to waffle on it because that's not the direction we're headed. And kind of conversely, when we have people that come in and teach, we get how you make go through a background check, and we sit down and make sure that you are in agreement with where we are as Westfield Community Church, because we don't want you back there teaching our children something different. We want to be unified. We want to be on the same page. We want to be working toward this place of unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Well, that verse 4 and 5, that really sums up the things I will die on. One body, one Spirit, one hope. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. It's kind of interesting as I think about this in light of, this is Father's Day. And I think about the father that I've had over my last 50 years. And I still have, because he's still around. Was he perfect? No. And he'll be watching this later, and he knows all these things. But, you know, I'm only third generation Christian on my dad's side, or second generation. Because my father came out of, back in the 50s, a broken home, which was really unusual. And his life wasn't always easy. But he took a stand. He gave his life to Christ, and he raised his kids in a godly home. And all of my siblings and myself are all followers of Jesus Christ. And I have three children, and they're all believers, and they all love God, and they all serve God. So the generational thing is continuing on. My mom's side, there's a lot more history of believers. But here's the thing, fathers, this morning, it's really our job as we step into our children's lives that we remind them it's a weighty thing to be a father, to be a good father, to be a good dad. Maybe that's a better term. Anybody can be a father. Anybody can father a child. But to be a dad, that's a different thing. To come in and love on your kids, to speak into their life blessing, to speak into their life identity, to remind them to walk in the manner of which they have been called when they become children of God, to teach in their life and not just what happens on a Sunday morning or a youth group or a life group or whatever it is. We fathers have a calling before God to speak into our children's lives in a way that no one else on the planet can. And remind them of who people are. I remember years ago when my oldest was, I'm trying to think how, he was, I don't know, between 8 and 11 or so. And he always would, you know, talk to mom when he was having issues and problems. And he came home from school one day with a, I don't remember what the issue was. And mom was like, I can help you out. What's going on? He's like, nope. I need man advice. She's like, oh, you know, kind of crushed her for a moment. But she, you know, again, she's smart. She understands the heart of a young man. There's that moment that happens. That's all I got. I don't remember what the issue was that we had a discussion about. But I did tell him, I said, you know, son, it's like next to Father God. I said, do you know who I go to when I have a question? Do you know who I go to when I need really good advice and wisdom? He's like, who's that? Your mom. Right? So again, it's about teaching my son. It's like, yes, there are definitely times to have that father-son talk that moms don't need to be part of. Not that they can't cope with it, but there's just those sacred moments between fathers and sons. Just like there are between fathers and daughters. Right? But in that moment, it was a teaching moment to tell him, like, look, and not like he didn't devalue his mother. That wasn't the point. But I, as his father, had that sacred moment to tell him, like, look, your mom is the smartest person I know. And when I get stuck, that's who I go to. Because between the two of us, we hash it out, we pray about it, we talk about it. That's my job. There's a piece of honoring my wife in that moment. To go, yeah, this is a wise woman. Don't discount her advice. You can still come talk to me. That's great. I love it. But don't run over her. Well, one, you can't. That'd be a bad move. Even though she's tiny, he's tried. It's never gone well. But that's the whole thing. You know, we as fathers have this moment to step into our children's lives. And when we have these teachable moments and we have this, again, it's about in those moments creating unity inside the family. I mean, we've had some real doozies of conversations. We were talking about one the other day, my oldest and I, just about how things were going on. And it was a very lively conversation in my kitchen. And it all stemmed from what I perceived as disrespect for my wife. There's been two moments. When he was a little older and one when he was 8. He did that earlier, and I put him on the floor very gently and put my knee on his chest. He was like 8 years old. I said, you will never speak to my wife like that ever again. And we laugh about it now, right? But it was a teachable moment. I didn't hurt him, but he remembers that. He's 25 years old. He tells everybody that story, right? It's about respect, right? But in these moments of teachable moments, I've had them with all my children in different ways. To have these moments of like, man, you are so much more. So when I'm correcting that, when we correct those things, you're not living up to the calling to which you've been called. And that's our job, fathers, is to correct that. At the same time as we speak into that. It's not always about the rod and discipline, which I'm all about when they were younger, trust me. But here's the thing, I didn't have to use it very often. I don't think I ever used it on you. You just look at her cross-eyed and she'd cry. Or use a really stern voice, right? I don't think I ever spanked you. The boys were, you know, that must have been your mother. But here's the thing. It's all about this, what we're talking about. And we're barely scratching the surface. But again, I love this because it goes on with all. Walk in the manner in which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is a description of how a father should walk right there. And I do it perfectly, especially with the patience and the gentleness piece. Yeah, but that's a really good description of how a father should walk. Walk in the manner worthy of you, which you've been called. We've been called, if we have fathered children and we are a dad, whether they're ours biologically or not. And that's the thing. They don't have to be your biological children to live in this place. Because we have lots of blended families in our world today, and it's awesome. I love it. With all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now somebody could look at that and go, man, that's really a description of a weenie. Right? There's not a lot of macho stuff in there. It's humility and gentleness and patience and love and peace. That's kind of, well, what a weakling. No, that's a description of a man of God who understands who he is. And if we pour that kind of identity into our children, We pour that kind of identity into the life groups that we lead. Some of you are working at Young Life. You pour this into those teenagers you guys serve. And I sense that in you guys when I've talked to you. Right? When we go into our workplaces, when we have this opportunity to get this on the people around us, and we become people of peace, we become people of gentleness, and we are people of humility, and we are people of this amazing love, and we have this patience when there doesn't seem to be. Why would you have patience in this situation? That showcases who God is. That's representing our Father in a way that is like, man, that's honoring. Again, it doesn't change who he is. He's never going to change. Just like what my children do, doesn't change who I am. Yeah, the things that they will do, or I hope they don't do some of these things, but you know, the things that they do that break your heart, they break your heart. They're not going to change who I am. But see, people let those things change who they are. Their children define them. My children don't define me. They're their own entity. But I hope they've been poured into, and they will continue to be poured in and prayed over and loved until I stop breathing. Because that's my calling. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I see that and hear that as you have Christ's grace. You have Christ's grace. It's been given to each one of us. So, fathers, I challenge you this morning. Evaluate where you are, first and foremost, with your Heavenly Father. What kind of relationship do you have? Is it real tight? Is it really alive? Is it one that's this daily conversation that you're having? For a lot of years, my Heavenly Father was very distant in Old Testament-y. I understood Old Testament, Father. I didn't understand New Testament very well. I know Old Testament is not a word I understand. I make up words all the time. But I have come to know him as something far greater than that. The Heavenly Father I understand now, above all things, has one of the most crazy sense of humor I enjoy every day. Right? So I think a lot of times we don't think God has a sense of humor. Look around the room. He has a sense of humor. That's not mean as a mean thing. I'm just saying, you know, he has a sense of humor. And I love that. Because that, I don't know, that just, it makes him, for me, makes him more approachable. Because, you know, the sense of humor that had to come from somewhere. Because my parents don't necessarily have the same sense of humor I have. I drive them nuts with my sense of humor, but so evaluate your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Evaluate your relationship with your wife. Are you honoring her? Get really brave and ask your children, how well have you done? They might be older now and out of the house. That might be a terrifying question, but you might find some interesting answers if they're honest. And how are you, fathers, in this place of unity? Are you stepping into this place to which you have been called? We cannot have absent fathers. We can't have them inside of the church. The world's full of people with no fathers. So the church must become the fathers and the mothers and these people's lives and love and care for them in a way they never have before. Why? Because so we can get all the accolades? No, so that we can bring them to a place where they can have a relationship with a real father who will never leave them or forsake them or fail them or abuse them or say the wrong thing, but will always say the right thing, will always speak into their life, will always say the things that they need to hear in that moment. Our job is to introduce them. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you again that you are a father who is unfailable. You don't fail. You don't waver from who you are. You don't abuse. You don't cease to love. Your love is unfailing and never ending. And as we, as your children, walk out this calling on our life, I pray that we would continue to understand more of who you are, see more of your all the traits that you have, and that we would pour those into the people that you've called us to serve. Father, above all things, the church should be known for how much they love and serve each other in their community and a world that is lost and dying. And we say that all the time. And I don't want it to sound trite or cliche. But every generation, we all say we don't have time to waste. We don't have time to waste. And I pray for all the fathers this morning as they step into their lives, and whether we're good fathers or struggling fathers, wherever we are in that spectrum, Father, that we would first and foremost base how we are to be a father on who you are. And Father, from that place, and lead from that place, and serve and love and care for from that place. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Oh, raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Oh, raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. Oh, raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Up from the enemies. We're gonna sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief.
We're gonna sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
We're gonna sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me.
We're gonna sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies.
We're gonna sing a little louder.
Dismissed.